done this and I should have done that. I should have been that and she'd never left. I should have been hanging on every word she ever had to say. But it's a little too late, she's a little too gone. She's a little too right, I'm a little too wrong. Now would be a good time to change, but it's a little too late. And to my surprise, she wasn't mad at me. I thought she'd finally realize not to worry, I'd be home. And then I realized this morning she was gone. Oh, I should have done this and I should have done that. I should have been that and she'd have never left. I should have been hanging on every word she ever had to say. But it's a little too late, she's a little too gone, she's a little too right, I'm a little...
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Calls to recall GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson growing after Johnson indicated he'll move forward on separate funding bills for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. ABC's Jay O'Brien says a vote to vacate centers around Ukraine.
The sense we're getting from the former president's camp is that he's waiting to see exactly what is in this legislation before he weighs in one way or the other, because we don't know exactly what's in it because the text of the legislation hasn't been released yet. This is an idea that Johnson has floated, but it hasn't been put down exactly on paper. But certainly, if Donald Trump comes out against this, it makes it even more complicated.
In New York City, Trump is back in court for the second day of jury selection in the hush money payment trial. Manhattan prosecutors accusing Trump yesterday of violating a partial gag order and want a judge to fine Trump. Severe storms that cause flooding from Wisconsin to Arkansas moving across the Midwest. Tornado alerts posted in Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. This is ABC News. As we get closer to summer, it's getting more expensive to fill up your tank. But one state is more expensive than anywhere else in the country.
Gas prices always go higher moving towards summer, but add in the uncertainty involving Iran, now a major oil producer, and the rises could be about to get even steeper. But for now, the Energy Department reports in the past week the price of regular unleaded went up 4 more cents to an average of $3.63 a gallon. That's still 4 cents cheaper than at this time last year. But in California, the average price of regular unleaded is now $5.27 a gallon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A historic building burning in Denmark. It's the old stock exchange and one of Copenhagen's oldest buildings, built in the 17th century. It's next to the Danish Parliament building and was undergoing renovation before the fire started. Several paintings were rescued before the flames spread throughout the building. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizi and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin's workforce is expected to continue significant growth.
Recently published short-term employment projections show the state making a remarkable post-pandemic recovery, with employment fully restored as of the second quarter of 2023. Projections by Department of Workforce Development labor economists point to Wisconsin adding nearly 82,000 new jobs, an increase of nearly 2.5% across all industries between 2023 and 2025. Computer and math-related occupations are growing fastest. Leisure and hospitality lead employment growth projections, adding more than 15,000 jobs. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Sunday night fire has gutted a Milwaukee area business. Menominee Falls Fire Chief Joe Pulvermacher tells Fox 6 Milwaukee the blaze at Acro Sales and Engineering started with an explosion.
As far as the source of that explosion, whether it be something inside or that is supplied to the building, we're not sure yet.
Other explosions happened as the fire was being fought. Pulvermacher believes those came from propane tanks inside the building, which was empty at the time. No one was hurt. The structure is a total loss, but firefighters are credited for keeping the blaze from spreading to other buildings in the industrial park where that building was located. A taxi rolled into the river in Watertown Monday afternoon. Police there say the driver of that taxi was helping a passenger into the vehicle when it began to roll. The driver's attempt to stop that minivan was unsuccessful as it rolled over the passenger's leg and into the Rock River. The injured passenger was taken to a hospital. There's no word on their condition. Crews eventually removed the taxi from the water. That incident is under investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It's Customer Appreciation Day at Duran Napa this Friday from 9 to 3. There'll be a free lunch from 11 to 1, door prizes, and a Milwaukee Tools sidewalk sale. Reps will be on site to answer all your questions on Milwaukee Tools for your shop. Farmers, get your equipment ready for spring planting with specials on hydraulic hoses, oils, tools, toolboxes, and much more. Save up to 50% on Evercraft specialty tools during Customer Appreciation Day this Friday from 9 to 3 at Duran Napa, Madison Street, downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Showers and a few thunderstorms strike this afternoon and throughout tonight. Heavy rainfall of 1 to 2 inches is possible, and as winds will be whipping out of the east at 30 miles per hour, gusting to 50 at times. This could knock out power and blow items around. One call to Tag Solutions now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 49.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And Jordan Fife, president of BioUrja Trading. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll speak with Karen Bonert of Farm Journal's Milk. I'm producer Big Apple Joseph Stackler. And now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Amazing, amazing. National Joseph Day is celebrated every year on April 16. It appreciates the strong and classic name Joseph, whose roots started in the Old Testament of the Bible with the story of a young boy with 11 jealous siblings. Wow. There you go.
Yep. Carry on the tradition.
There it is. There it is. Well, happy Joseph's Day.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you, Big Apple Joe. This is AgriTalk. Glad that you are joining us here this morning. Davis has got a couple of days off. I believe he will be back with us tomorrow, unless he skips out. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be back with us tomorrow. So looking forward to getting Davis back. We've got quite the show coming your way. Conversation with Harold Woolley, president of the National Corn Growers Association. We're going to check in on the priorities, some of the efforts that are being made on the policy front, including on crop insurance. It's not as cut and dry as it might seem with crop insurance. There are some asks that are out there and some ways to make the program better for corn growers going forward, and we'll talk about that with Harold coming up in just a bit. Then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get Jordan Fife in here. Jordan is the president of trading at BioUrja down in Houston, and he is going to fill us in on what the crude oil markets are paying closest attention to and where things might be going from here. We'll get into some of the geopolitical issues out there as well. All right, joining us now, Michelle Rook, national reporter, Farm Journal broadcast. Hey, Michelle, how's it going?
Hey, not too bad. We are getting some rain up here in the Dakotas this morning.
Yeah.
But we'll take it. We'll take it. We needed it.
And some storms along with it, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I know down in southwestern South Dakota, there were some
I'm going to
baseball fails. Ooh, baseball size hail and that sort of thing, which we always hate to see, but at least there weren't any crops to be hurt. So
right. Yeah, exactly. If it's going to come, that's probably a good time of the year to get it. Severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 10:15 Central Time. Northwestern Clay, northeastern Yankton, and Turner counties. So there in the southeast part of the state, there is a warning in place. Well, maybe they just took it off. No, it's still there. It's still there. It is still in place. And there's also a warning down in west central Missouri to pay attention to. Storms are going to be moving their way through all day long. All right, but let's get to it. What do you got in the news?
Well, USDA's crop progress report yesterday showing corn 6% planted, 5% is the average. Missouri led the country with a record fast pace of 26% planted on corn. Soybean planting was faster than expected, 3%, 2 points ahead of average. Spring wheat now 7%, seeded cotton at 8%, winter wheat came in 55%, good to excellent, down a point. Kansas dropped 6 points at 43%. Now the winter wheat crop 11% headed, 4% ahead of normal. In spring wheat planting, we already gave you that, but it looks like that's going to be slowed down now due to the weather.
Yep.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, will continue pathogenic avian influenza relative to the current situation in dairy, despite an aborted attempt by the American Association of Bovine Practitioners to change that name to bovine influenza A virus. They say that according to their perspective, highly path avian influenza or H5N1, those are the most scientifically accurate terms to describe the virus. The end of Panama's dry season is bringing hope for increased traffic through the Panama Canal as recent rainfalls provided some relief. The Panama Canal authorities cautiously optimistic about returning to normal operations by 2025. But again, this depends on weather conditions.
Yeah.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said the chamber will vote this week on Ukraine and Israel aid. Johnson made the proposal for votes on four separate bills, including funding Taiwan and others that would impose more sanctions on Iran and allow Ukraine to cash in on profits from frozen Russian assets. Pro Farmer's Jim Wiesmeyer says splitting the aid into separate packages could actually ease the passage. And meanwhile, Representative Marjorie Taylor, who threatened to force a vote to depose Johnson if the House considers Ukraine aid, said last night she hasn't made a decision yet whether to proceed with that. Meanwhile, the House has imposed sanctions on Chinese financial institutions for purchasing Iranian crude. That's part of the package in response to Iran's attack on Israel. In remarks to reporters Monday at the North American Ag Journalists meeting, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack highlighted the challenge of passing a bipartisan farm bill amidst a closely divided Congress. He is proposing utilizing the CCC to support farmers and says maybe Congress could also alleviate a budgetary challenges by making WIC mandatory.
Right, right. Yeah, Michelle, he's been talking about tapping into the CCC to help out on Title I or the safety net programs for quite some time. So we'll see if that makes any progress now.
Yeah, I asked Senator Bozeman about that during the hearing on Friday, and he said that is a likely possibility.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, Chip.
Hey, talk to me about what you learned in Denver about heifer replacements.
Yeah, well, I was attending the Dairy Calf and Heifer annual conference, Chip. I also went on a tour to the Five Rivers Cattle Feed Yard, where they feed a lot of cows, 100,000 on one site. And so, in fact, 20,000 of those were approximately beef on dairy cattle, those Jersey Charolais crosses. But the question that was really unfolding is understanding the need of replacement dairy heifers and understanding the economics of that. And I think we've gotten ourselves in a predicament because we've done a great job of raising heifers, especially with sex semen. And now with beef on dairy being utilized, producers kind of, as we've talked over the time, have swung the other way. So the real question is understanding the cost that goes into raising these dairy heifers, because one economist that spoke at the conference said it's still expensive to purchase dairy cattle and that we can raise them cheaper than we can buy them. So producers really need to kind of look at their inventory and making sure that they have enough heifer replacements or slightly over will be essential, especially as a lot of these farms at this conference, per se, were talking about growth, whether it was expanding their current location or looking at an additional site to have a dairy. So we got to make sure that we're making enough dairy replacements.
Yeah.
But this is an easier said than done conversation because of that, what we're getting paid for those beef cross calves.
Yep, it is a topic of conversation that is, I think, is coming up more and more often, Karen, and the right numbers, the right kind, the right everything when it comes to putting that replacement heifer into the rotation is absolutely critical. Good stuff, Karen. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Learn more about it, www.dairyherd.com. We're going to talk with Harold Woolley from NCGA next.
If farmers know one thing to be true, it's this. There are a lot of factors you can't control. The weather, breakdowns, and a million other variables. But for all the uncertainty, you wouldn't change a thing. Because that's farming. And that's why Koch Agronomic Services works to make life on the farm a bit more predictable. From nutrient management and protection to plant growth and seed enhancement, get the confidence of being in control. Visit CokeAgSolutions.com.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TriVoltInAction.com. TriVolt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
It's a busy time of the year for corn growers. Got the crop going in the ground, and we've got a lot of farm state lawmakers, non-farm state lawmakers in place, deciding on some legislation. They're in session and making decisions, and the National Corn Growers Association is there trying to do some education. And we're going to find out what's on the top of the priority list at NCGA right now from Harold Woolley. Harold is the president of the National Corn Growers Association up in Minnesota. How are you, Harold?
Real good, Chip. Nice rainy morning here. There's been some crops planted in southern Minnesota, so a little rain will get them started.
You bet. You bet. I was going to ask if you got rained out this morning. I'm glad we're not just pulling you out of the field.
It's the weather that has me sitting in the office today, but every so often you need a day in the office.
There you go. There you go. Okay, let's talk about a couple of things on the priority list there at NCGA. I know that you sent Ken into D.C. here not too long ago to talk about the Federal Agriculture Risk Management Enhancement and Resiliency Act, the Farmer Act. It's sponsored by Senator John Hoeven out of North Dakota, but it's about crop insurance. What exactly is this about, Harold?
Well, it's about increasing the premium support level for certain plans of insurance.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, it would increase the premium support for revenue protection and yield protection policies at the 80% coverage level from 68% to 77%, at the 85% coverage level from 53% to 68%. Okay. And it would also change the coverage level and premium subsidy under the supplemental coverage option. So it increases the premium support for the supplemental coverage option from 65% to 80% and increases the SCO coverage level from 86% to 90%. So just some enhancements for crop insurance. As you well know, crop insurance is the number one risk management tool that our nation's corn farmers have, and NCGA is always supportive of improving crop insurance. So that's what Senator Hoeven's bill would do.
Yeah, and basically what it does is it kind of just updates it and gets it up to date with reality on what's happening out there on the farm and the risk that producers are facing, right?
Absolutely. We are entering a period of lower profitability, and that increases our risk. So to have these tools in our toolbox is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that going to be a standalone, Harold, or would that be tagged on to the farm bill if we can see any progress there?
Well, as I understand it, this is primarily a marker bill that gets these ideas out in front of Congress. And then I do believe that the changes would need to be made in the farm bill.
Okay. All right. Are you hearing anything on the farm bill as far as what the timing is going to be? The latest that we've heard, Harold, is that House Ag Committee Chairman Thompson, Glenn Thompson, hopes to have the chairman or chairman's mark out by the middle of May. That is kind of the next step that we need to see taken in this. Is that right?
I believe you are correct, and that is what the NCGA folks are hearing as well, too.
Okay.
Nothing written down has been released yet. So, yeah, we're hoping they are compromising and going to make some progress on this farm bill and get her done. At least, you know, it's not like they are saying, hey, we're not going to deal with this until after the election. So I'm very glad that Chairman Thompson and everybody involved on the House and Senate Ag Committee are wanting to get this done this spring.
Right, right. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of EPA issues, because one of them, and well, I guess this one isn't an EPA issue. It's the International Trade Commission. You were in D.C. not that long ago testifying on why it's important to why imports of 2,4-D and other crop protection tools are important. Tell us about that trip.
Well, Corteva has filed a petition with the International Trade Commission to have anti-dumping and countervailing duties applied to imports of 2,4-D acid from India and China. So an anti-dumping duty is levied when a product is being imported below the cost of production. A countervailing duty is implemented when a country's government unfairly subsidizes the production of that commodity. So Corteva is maintaining that both of those situations apply to imports of the 2,4-D acid from both of those countries. If that would happen, it would increase the cost of 2,4-D to our nation's corn and soybean farmers, to all of our farmers. So, you know, we don't use a lot of 2,4-D, but it's an important part of a conservation system. If we're going to burn down the weeds before we plant, 2,4-D is one of the staple commodities that's used to pesticides that used to control those broadleaf weeds. So a very important, long time chemical that that we need to have in our toolbox at a reasonable price. You know, here again, as this cost price squeeze affects the nation's farmers, this becomes more and more important that we have access to these tools at affordable prices.
Yeah, it's so many times it feels like there are rules and regulations that get in the way of affordability on some of these products, and this is the potential here again. Let's talk about EPA's tailpipe rule, because, Harold, this just feels like a mess. The administration keeps proposing what seem to be extremely difficult to reach EV use goals, electric vehicle use goals. And while they're doing that, they're ignoring the potential tailpipe emission reductions from using ethanol, higher blends of ethanol. You know, reducing the tailpipe emissions is a goal that we can get behind. It's just the administration's proposals to achieve those goals are kind of a big problem, because they're ignoring the higher blends of ethanol, right?
I agree. You know, if we want to decarbonize the transportation system right now, we need to use more ethanol, because ethanol has a lower carbon intensity score than straight up gasoline. So, and I always like to say, we know how to grow the feedstock corn. We know how to process it. We've got our biorefineries in place. We know how to store the corn. We know how to store the ethanol. We know we've got the distribution system in place. Electricity has tremendous problems in all those arenas. So we're ready right now. We need to use higher blends.
Yeah, and part of the problem for the electricity, and I'll say it for you here, is just the manufacturing of the batteries and distribution of those batteries and the wear and tear and roads and everything that comes into play with those batteries. So it's it is not as clear cut as or as easy as the administration is trying to make it out to be, with their idea that we just go to EVs and all problems will be solved. So need to follow the path here and connect the dots. Part of that is the pathway for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market. Harold, any progress there?
You know, we are anxiously awaiting what the GREET modeling is going to contain. I certainly advocate that the corn can be grown to be a low carbon fuel for feedstock for the aviation fuel industry, and I think there's a number of other folks that realize that too. So we need to get the modeling right so that low carbon corn qualifies as the feedstock. Yeah. And I'm hopeful that that's going to happen. And you know, we've been anxiously awaiting the release of this GREET model. And although at the same time, I think it behooves all of us to have a little patience so that it gets done right. You know, it's a different can of worms when you're dealing with Treasury and a tax credit. You know, tax fraud's a very serious issue, and we want this to be able to move forward and farmers not have to worry about being out of compliance with the tax code.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair point. We've only got about 30 seconds, but I want to touch this real quick. Efforts to remove Brazil's tariffs on imports of U.S. ethanol. Any chance that that's going to happen?
I don't know. We need to emphasize that again and again. Brazil charges us an 18% tariff for our ethanol going into their country, and we only charge them 2.4%. That's not right.
Yeah, it certainly is not. Harold, good luck this spring. Stay safe, and we'll talk with you again soon, okay?
Talk to you later, Chip.
You bet. Harold Woolley, president of the National Corn Growers Association. Okay, we're going to check in with Brian Grady and the markets here in just a moment, and then it's time for a conversation with Jordan Fife from BioErgy here on AgriTalk.
potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Just a little follow-through from yesterday in the...
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry in harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. May milk down 38 to 1724, June down 33 to 1757, July down 27 to 1805, August down 22 at 1844. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as they continue to move off of Friday's lows. They are approaching the 100-day moving averages, but again, the box beef prices are still a little bit mixed, but no cash cattle traded just yet this week. Hog markets moving mostly higher as it's the markets potentially found a bottom in the latest moves. Also, the higher close and pork cutouts from Monday still supporting the market. April live cattle up $1.02 to $181.32. April feeder cattle up $1.50 to $2.40.70. May hogs up 2 cents to $94.35. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Trade still nervous about the geopolitical situation in the Middle East. Also, rain in parts of the Western Corn Belt, which is much needed, helping to pressure the prices today. May corn down a quarter to 431 and a quarter. New crop down 1 1/4 to 468. May beans down 11 to 1147 and a quarter. New crop down 8 1/4 to 1159. May wheat in Chicago down 1 1/2 to 550, 1 1/4 Minneapolis wheat, May still up 5 1/2 to 642 1/2. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Get more with Stein. When it comes to soybean breeding, more generations equals additional yield. 2.2% more yield per generation. By introducing more new genetics faster than any other seed company, Stein delivers on the Stein Has Yield promise. For elite genetics paired with simple, flexible, and effective weed control, plant Stein Enlist E3 soybeans. Stein Has Yield. Yield plus advantage. Learn more at steinseed.com.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Jordan, that's got to be killing you. A little Nickelback for walk-up music. How do you feel about that?
It's not my cup of tea. I like it a little faster and a little louder, but it's okay. It's okay. I'll let it
gotcha.
Go.
Gotcha. Jordan Fife, president of BioUrge Trading, is our guest right now. It's good to talk with you again, Jordan, buddy. Okay.
Good to talk to you, Chip.
Let's jump right into it here, because these energy markets, the ag markets are paying attention to what is happening in the energy trade. There's no question about that. And I just in general, how are the energy markets doing? There are several happenings around the globe that the energy markets have got to keep tabs on right now. How are they doing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. It's not one issue that we're dealing with in the energy markets. It's several. The biggest one that's getting the most headlines right now is Israel and Gaza, and rightfully so. And now the involvement with Iran. Iran is, of course, the third largest member of OPEC in terms of oil production behind Saudi Arabia and Iraq. So it's a big deal when you have these kind of geopolitical risks going on. But as you alluded to earlier, it's not just what's going on in Israel and Gaza and then subsequently what's happening with Iran. There's also what's going on in Russia. And Russia's oil production and refining is down right now 10%. It was down 14% last month, so it's getting a little bit back. But Ukraine has successfully hit several of their refineries with drones. So that's another thing that you've got going on. And then, you know, one other big note is what's going on in the Red Sea. We have the Houthis that are disrupting trade there. So you have major implications with geopolitical risk going on in multiple locations right now. And what's happening is we're seeing an increase in Brent 95 and $100 calls. You're seeing Goldman, you're seeing other large banks calling for $100 oil. And I think we could easily see that happen if we don't see a de-escalation in multiple areas of geopolitical risk.
Okay. Iran and OPEC in particular. I get questions all the time, Jordan, about just how important OPEC production is, how much influence it has on the price of gas at a pump in the U.S. Explain that to us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a massive impact on it. Because remember, there are two different benchmarks for crude oil. One is Brent, and that is the North Sea up in Scotland. But that is the rest of the world. Think of it that way. And the second is WTI or West Texas Intermediate. And the United States is the largest producer of oil. I've said that on this show and multiple other times, and it's just a fact. But when you have OPEC that supplies a ton of the rest of the world, you're talking parts of Europe, you're talking parts of Asia, you're talking obviously the Middle East, you're talking parts of South America even, and Africa. Their influence on the price of oil is huge. And that's going to just translate again because the WTI Brent spread is only going to be able to separate so much before basically the arb will blow up to the point where it won't make mathematical sense. So when OPEC talks, it will eventually trickle down to the pump in the United States. It's not a one for one, but it is meaningful. And the spread between Brent and TI right now is holding in there. And I expect it to. The United States continues to produce record every single month. And I think it will continue. We just had several reports that down wells that have been abandoned are basically being looked at again. I think eventually we're going to overshoot the landing. That's what all markets do. We'll eventually overproduce. But for right now, this is actually a very advantageous time for people that are producing oil in the United States. They are just printing money.
Wow. Okay. I want to come back to that because, I want to come back to that. Russia. Does Russia in the situation in Ukraine and its relationship with OPEC, does it still have the potential or the ability to influence price in Europe and around the globe?
Yes, but I mean, they are with sanctions that are going on right now, they're selling at a discount. That's a fact. They're selling at a discount, but their largest importer right now is China. And China is the largest importer of oil, period. In 2023, they were the largest importer of oil. I think they're up like 10% year on year in terms of oil imports, but they are exporting Russia a ton to China right now. And they're the largest counterpart. Their ability is still very important, but it has waned a little bit with lack of trading partners. But that being said, China and India have stepped up huge and they're just buying discounted oil, which helps their economies, pretty sizably.
Well, China, there's another variable that's tough, if not impossible, to measure here on the energy markets because their economic growth or lack of economic growth. I just wonder how sustainable is all this demand for energy into China?
That's a great question. And, you know, just to add even a further wrinkle to that, there was reports last month that 40% of all cars sold in the month of March in China were EV. They're EV. And I said this on a podcast earlier this week, or maybe last week. My timelines get hazy. But I have an old boss that lives in Thailand, and he went to a car expo there, and literally every car at the expo was EV. Not one internal combustion engine there. So when you talk about demand in China and how it really adds up, it's so difficult to do. It's a black box over there. You can't get the data like you do out of the EIA, and it's just hard to piece it all together. So you've got increase in EVs, you've got an increase in Russian crude oil coming in, you've got a growing population, but to your point, it's not growing like it was before.
Right.
It's very difficult to put it all together and really add up where all the pieces go. Long term, I think you will see a decrease in oil consumption there. Short term, I think they've still got a pretty steep climb to go, and we'll see a lot of oil exported to China and refined there. They're still going to be leading the way in terms of demand for the next, call it, decade or two.
Well, they're not putting up all those coal-fired electric plants to let them sit idle, are they?
That's right. No. You don't buy a Ferrari and park it in the garage. When you do that,
exactly.
they're showing their hand pretty strongly. I agree with you.
Yeah. No doubt. Okay. Talk to me about just the general outlook. You said the banks are placing their bets on $100 crude with the call options. Is it kind of a given that we're going to get there?
I'm not giving trading advice, but in my opinion, I think we're going to touch $100 Brent crude. Okay. I really do. I think we just named three of them, and we're probably leaving three off the list. I think those geopolitical risks, it is a tinderbox.
Yeah.
If Israel responds in any way whatsoever, it's going to go to $100. I believe there will be some sort of retaliation, and we're going to see crude spike on that. Over the weekend, we saw Netanyahu take a little bit of a backseat, and he got a lot of praise from a lot of different European leaders and Asian leaders in the United States. But now it feels that they want to do something to retaliate against the attack. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Once that happens, I do believe oil will jump between $3 and $5. So that will take us to basically $95. And then we're just a hair tick away from getting back to 100. If there is an actual conflict between Iran and Israel, you could see 120 and 130. And that's not a joke. I don't know if it'll happen. If you get a couple of missiles that go back and forth, 100, I think, will happen. If you get an actual conflict in a war, 110, 120, 130 is certainly within the realm of possibility.
Man, oh, man. So for users of energy intensive businesses like farming, it's not too late to get some upside protection in place. What do you do? Do you buy some calls on this? How do you protect yourself?
You could there's calls that are going to be more closely related to, you don't need to do a crude call because it's not a one for one there. You would do a heating oil call because there is no distillate contract anymore on the board. So it's a heating oil, and that's your best bet. If you're wanting a little protection from what happens if there is that, they're probably priced pretty expensive right now, and it depends on how far out you want to go on the curve. I'm sure your audience understands how pricing volatility and pricing time works on a call, but that would probably be your best option depending on how expensive the call is. I think that's probably a pretty good strategy.
Okay. All right. Real quick, what are you hearing on the GREET model? Is there and the potential to move corn-based ethanol onto a pathway to sustainable aviation fuel?
I don't think it's going to happen in the near future, to be perfectly honest. The carbon intensity of the corn-based ethanol plants within the United States is too high. And so it's kind of a chicken and an egg. You're going to need to do carbon sequestration. You're going to need to do something to lower your carbon intensity score. There's going to need to be a major initiative from the government to subsidize it, because the people that I've talked to that are leading the way in sustainable aviation fuel, just on a model alone, does not work. Even if you're using domestic ethanol as your feedstock, it's just not there. So you would need, and I believe it's $1.25 tax credit to produce a sustainable aviation fuel, up to $1.75 for each point below a certain carbon intensity. Even with that up to $1.75 tax credit, the math still doesn't get you there to make it. There has been announcements just today, actually. I think Boeing placed its largest order of sustainable aviation fuel. I think that's more of a public relations thing right now. We would need to see a vast to make it a sustainable long-term play. Maybe it gets there. I just don't think it's something that's unfortunately right around the corner. I don't think it's going to affect 2024 or even 2025.
What happens if Trump wins the White House this fall? Does it because there's an attitude that the Trump administration will just clear out all the clean fuel initiatives by the Biden administration. Is that a legitimate concern?
I mean, it's a concern. You know, a change in any administration, whether it's Trump or whether it were, you know, name another Republican, or if it were Biden or name another Democrat, you know, the change is always the question. I think there is some concern, because if you just went back to the last time, and I've always said this, Chip, I'm not trying to be political. I really am not. If you just look back at the last data set we had from when Trump was there, he had an EPA director that basically gutted the RFS, RINs prices drop. It could happen again. He could also tariff China. And if he did that, that would actually help the used cooking oil, which in effect would help bean oil. So there's a positive spin to a Trump administration there that a lot of people probably haven't thought through.
Gotcha. Man, I enjoy these conversations, Jordan. Thank you so much, buddy.
Anytime. Thanks, Chip, for having me.
All right. You bet. Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrja. I'll be right back to wrap up this morning's AgriTalk.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
So it's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs for the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the conservation security program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it's very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two and the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you're worried about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. And we can do that very easily with no-till and cover crop. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price. Because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Davis is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. We've got some weather that people need to be aware of. Some severe thunderstorm warnings from just east of downtown Kansas City up to north of Cameron, but south of Bethany in northwest Missouri. So there is a string of severe thunderstorms making their way there. Boy, I tell you what, the tornado watch area covers a lot of northern Missouri into south central Iowa, and the storms are busting out of that area into north central Iowa, western Iowa, and just west of the Des Moines area right now. A lot of south to north movement on the storms right now. So, but this whole system is expected to very slowly make its way to the east and create some issues for a lot of northern Missouri and Iowa as the day progresses. And it's not going away today. It will make its way into the eastern Corn Belt tomorrow. So heads up there as well. Interesting conversation with Jordan Fife, and some of the things we just touched on very quickly and then moved on. Some of the issues I felt we needed to go back to because OPEC, I get questions all the time in here about, listen, if the U.S. is the biggest producer of crude oil, if the U.S. crude oil production is at record highs, why does it matter what is going on with OPEC? Well, it matters because it's a global market. That's the bottom line. And Jordan laid that out very, very clearly. If something is going to impact the price of crude oil, the price of natural gas, the price of electricity in Europe, it's going to have an impact on those markets here in the United States. It is really that simple. And so OPEC and OPEC production having an impact on European energy prices is going to have an impact on U.S. prices as well. One thing that we did not get into, but just last week there was chatter about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve again. Did not get into it because the last time, and you know what, maybe we need to get Jordan back on here sooner rather than later to have this whole conversation. But the last time that he was on, may not have been the last time, a previous time that Jordan was on, he made the case that refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve may not be the most strategic thing for the U.S. energy markets to do going forward or for energy policy going forward. I think there's still a belief that that is going to happen. So anytime we get WTI close to 70, you'd be in that $70 to $75 range. That's a floor on the market right now, because the attitude is that we're going to be refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to move forward. He sees a cluttered path for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market. Came right out and said we need to decarbonize corn-based ethanol. I don't know if the best way to do that is on the production side through you know, the carbon intensity scoring and working on the corn production side to get that carbon intensity score as low as possible. We've talked with producers that are convinced that they can produce corn with a negative carbon intensity score. Well, if every bushel going into the ethanol plant has a negative carbon intensity score, that corn-based ethanol should qualify for sustainable aviation fuel credits, that buck and a quarter a gallon, all the way up to $1.75, depending on exactly what the carbon intensity score of that ethanol is. So there's that route. The other route is you know, just simply deciding that reducing the carbon intensity score of the corn is not the best path to take. It is a better path to sequester the carbon and put it in a pipeline and take it to North Dakota and stick it in the ground. Still a very, very controversial issue in the state of Iowa and the state of South Dakota, and even in North Dakota. It's controversial in Nebraska, in Minnesota, in Illinois. Any place that these pipelines might touch, the controversy is following them. The end result, the outcome, I don't think is debatable. If the carbon, if the CO2 from those ethanol production plants is being piped up to North Dakota, it's a zero carbon fuel. And that fuel would then be eligible for use in sustainable aviation fuel and would then be eligible for tax credits. I believe, as I understand it, all the way up to $1.75 a gallon. It is not an insignificant amount of money. Now, what do you do with that $1.75 a gallon? Does that go back to the ethanol plants? And if it goes back to the ethanol plants, where does it go from there? Does it make it all the way back to the members, those delivering corn to that facility for ethanol production? Is that how we end up moving some of the SAF money all the way back to the farm gate? I'm not exactly sure, but these are some of the issues that are being talked about in the industry going forward. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Conversation with Craig Turner from the StoneX Group tomorrow morning. USDA Undersecretary for Trade Alexis Taylor, and a farmer forum right here on AgriTalk.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies. From Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.